prove that you're ready to become full grown emotionally when you're ready to move into interdependence. That means you're not only aware of your strengths, you're aware of your weaknesses. You're not only aware of what you can do, you're aware of your need for partnership and support.
Hello and welcome to this Thanksgiving Day edition of Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor at Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. Thanks for spending part of your holiday here with us. Coming your way next, a challenge to men to become mature in four key ways, spiritually, emotionally, financially, and vocationally. Ideally, this will take place before marriage, not after, but it's never too late to start doing things God's way. As he continues his journey through the book of Ruth, Pastor Paul will go into detail about each of these four areas. Ladies, stick around if you can, because today's message will help you discover what kind of man to look for in a husband. Stop by PastorPaul.net to hear any recent Destined for Victory message on demand. That's PastorPaul.net. You can also listen to or download the podcast at Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. But right now, here's Pastor Paul with today's message, So You Want to Get Married.
If you don't know it, let me tell you, life is serious. What God is doing in your life is serious. His plan for you is serious. It's kingdom business. And you've got to learn, if you want to be a man who marries right, you've got to grow up. You can't be a 34-year-old boy, 27-year-old boy, whatever age you are, and you're talking about you're ready to get married, or it's time, it's the season in your life where you need to get married. That's a signal that you need to hurry up and finish growing up. There is no such thing as spiritual maturity when you are emotionally immature. If you are emotionally immature, it will stunt your spiritual growth. You know why? Because the Word of God calls us to a level of living that demands that you get the focus off of self. And you don't grow up until you get the focus off of you. So you got to understand the stages of emotional development. Stages of emotional development are, first, dependence. Second, independence. And then third, interdependence. Look at it, how it plays out just in everyday life. When a child is born, they are born dependent. Their very life depends on other people. They don't have the option to survive on their own. Somebody's got to feed them. The kid can't come out and say, you know what, y'all a little tardy with the food. Let me go find something. No, they will starve to death unless someone feeds them. Someone must clothe them. Someone must nurture them. Someone must take care of them. We're also learning about emotional development. You've got to get in a child's face and connect with them and let them know they're loved. Babies, they're finding babies are getting more sickly the less loved they are, because they're in the dependent stage. They need you to tell them who they are, that they're valuable, that they are loved. And that is a natural stage for children. But how many know it's not so cute when here you are 24, 27, 32, 38, 46, 53... talking about, I need somebody to take care of me. I need somebody to affirm me. I need somebody to show me who I am. I need somebody who will take a chance on me. I need... Because you should have grown up by now. You can't be a baby Huey. When I was growing up, there was this little cartoon. Some of y'all remember, come on. All of you who are over 40, you remember Baby Huey. Old thing. Still had on a diaper. And how many know a male baby Huey is not a pretty sight? And so you got to learn to get past that stage and get into the independent stage. That's the second stage of emotional development. Independence. And you see it in the natural progression. When a child is raised right, they start out dependent. They can't help it. You don't beat them up for being dependent. They have to be. That's where you start in life. Somebody's got to teach you everything you know. But then you move into independence if you're growing emotionally. independence. And after a while, you see a child begin to take pride in what they have internalized. So now they no longer want you to button their shirt. Because they went through that stage where they standing there and you button them. And, all right, now I want you to play right with the other kids. And I want you to, you stand there, all right. They fixing you all up and everything. And you went through that stage. Now you're at a stage, if you're developing properly, where, you, and you parents will see it, where you go to button your child, say, I can do it. And they back up and they want to do it themselves. That's right. That's good. Don't over baby them. You don't know what you're doing. You're going to mess it up. Let them try it. Even if they button it wrong. Let them try it and applaud the effort. And then you just correct them. Say, now see, you got to line this up better. And show them. And let them correct it. Let them learn to tie their shoes. It can be just about to fall apart. But they tried. You applaud it. You make a big deal. When our kids were first getting that shoe tie, we made a big deal. And I'd say, you did that all by yourself? They stand there. Proud. Now I see it's about to fall apart. But I called Medivin, come on in here. You see what this child did all by herself? And then she joined in. You did that. Ooh, you did. We just make a big deal. Independence. You let them show what they have internalized and begin to live it out. But independence is not the final stage of emotional development. You prove that you're ready to become full grown emotionally when you're ready to move into interdependence. That means you're not only aware of your strengths, you're aware of your weaknesses. You're not only aware of what you can do, you're aware of your need for partnership and support. And you are able to choose interdependence. Interdependence is a decision that can only be made by people who first know who they are in Christ. They know what God has ordained for their lives. They internalized enough of the word to now have a sense of who I am. And knowing that I'm a child of destiny, knowing God has a plan and purpose for my life, I also know that he has willed that in many cases. Now, I started this section of the series saying, if you are gifted to be unmarried and you choose that, you are free to do that. But in many cases, we need to be married. And when you know that about yourself, then you are aware of your ability to enter into a meaningful covenant with another individual. Interdependence. So you want to look for, Ruth is looking for a Boaz who isn't still tied to mama. He's ready now to leave and cleave. Have you ever read that in your Bible? Way back in Genesis, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. He's leaving those who taught him, who raised him up, who trained him wonderfully in the things of God, taught him how to be a man, taught him how to be responsible. Thank you all. I will honor you the rest of your lives, but I'm ready now to leave. I will always honor you, but I'm not going to lay up in your house all my life. Even if they let you stay there during the single years, you ought to become responsible in their home. Oh, this is good. I had the privilege of marrying out of my parents' house. They allowed us to marry out of their house. They didn't kick us out before we got married. But once you graduated high school, you were going to college. Once you went to college, you were getting a job. You weren't going to lay up in the house. You're not in school and not at work. And not looking for school or work. It wasn't going to happen. It was just not going to happen. You're not going to lay up in here. This isn't the Holiday Inn. So I had the privilege. I was working two jobs when I left my parents' home and got married. Because they refused to raise a bum. Just wasn't going to happen. And you may have heard me tell the story. After I got married, I still had the key, and I went in a few days after we got back from our honeymoon. I thought, you know, I'm a married man. Let me go in and see my parents for the first time as a married man. And I took my key, went on in, and my dad was sitting at the kitchen table, and I went in the door, side entrance to the house near the kitchen. And so he looked up, and he said, hey, son. I said, hey, Pop, how you doing? Good to see you, man. And so I stood there in the kitchen. He's sitting at the table, and we thought we'd shoot the breeze, two married men. A few sentences into the conversation, a puzzled look came on his face. He said, "By the way, son, how'd you get in here?" I said, "Oh, you know, I still have my key, so I just, you know, thought I'd pop in, check on you and mom." He said, "Okay, well, good to see you. Leave your key right on that ledge right there." And he meant it. I went in the refrigerator to get some apple juice while we were talking. Got a cup, poured some apple juice, there, and I saw this little look come over his face. And I knew that look meant, you got a little old apartment, you married a little old wife, you go home, drink your own little old apple juice. I saw it all in his face. He never said it. But I was like, okay, all right then. A few months later, when I went to the house, ringing the doorbell, and they let me in. He wasn't home. My mother was there. We hung out, talked a little bit. And I thought I'd wax nostalgic and run up to the third floor where my room was. I had a room and bathroom up there. And I went up there. And lo and behold, my bathroom was no longer a bathroom. I ran downstairs and said, "Mom, what is he doing up there?" She said, "Oh, as soon as you got married, your father called the contractor. He turned your bathroom into a sauna." And my bedroom had been turned into a study. I mean, they have a big old house. He had all kind of rooms he could have made into a study. He chose my room. He was saying, "You are a married man now. I taught you everything I could teach you about being a man. I let you live in my home single and enjoyed you. But now you are a married man. You go make it work, because if it doesn't work, you're not coming back here."
Stay with us. The second half of Pastor Paul Shepherd's message is coming right up. We're always grateful for your prayers and financial support, but we certainly want to say it today as we celebrate all the blessings God has given us. Your gifts are making a difference all around the world, making it possible for Pastor Paul to share the good news of salvation in Christ with a growing audience. Destined for Victory is a listener-supported ministry, and as we find ourselves still walking through a season of uncertainty, your support is even more critical today. Give online safely and securely from our website, pastorpaul.net, or give us a call at 855-339-5500. Again, the number is 855-339-5500. It's okay to be independent, but only to a certain point. In a marriage, interdependence is critical to relational growth and intimacy. Here's Pastor Paul with the rest of today's Destined for Victory message, "So You Want to Get Married."
You got to grow up emotionally, man. It's time for you to move through the stages and become interdependent, ready to enter into a meaningful relationship. You got to become financially fit. You got to make a commitment, brother, if you're going to be responsible. Now, see, I'm old fashioned. I believe the book just like it teaches it. The Bible says, Paul told Timothy, if a man will not take care of his family financially, he is worse than a heathen. He's worse than an infidel, a person who doesn't know God, Paul said. I was raised the old-fashioned way. I was raised that it's a man's responsibility to see to the financial welfare of his family. I cannot relate to these brothers sitting around just expecting that sister to get out there and take care of him. I can't relate to y'all. I have no frame of reference for it. Everybody can go through a season of unemployment, but sooner or later, every season changes. And if you see it as your responsibility, thank God. If your wife is gainfully employed, many of your wives or the women you will eventually marry may be higher income earners than you. That doesn't allow you to shake off the responsibility for the welfare of your family. If she chooses to help out in that way, bless her all the more. Compliment her all the more. Thank God for her all the more. Wash the dishes all the more. How you gonna lay up like you the king? You need her check in the worst way. She out there working as many hours, maybe more than you. And you come home and you want to lay around and let her go into job number two. I don't see how that works. If you need her and she is willing to help you with your responsibility, because the way I was raised, if your wife chooses to work outside the home, bless her and thank her for it. If she doesn't, brother, figure out how to pay the bills. That's the way I was raised. If you got to work two jobs, we were taught if you got to come home from your first job, get a little shower, or wash up, go to the dinner table, eat, sit down, talk to your wife for a half hour, then get up and go to your second job. That's what you got to do. Because you have to do whatever it takes to take care of your household. So what does that mean? That means you have to have a work ethic. You can't be a lazy man of God. You have to have a work ethic. You have to know what it is to hit that clock. You got to be able to hold a job. You got to be able to stay there. And you can't come home, I quit. What'd you quit for? Because somebody looked at me funny. I'm tired of people. Tired of people looking at me every time I turn around. I know what they're thinking. I'm a man. I can't have people disrespecting me like that. I'm a man. You're going to quit a job because somebody look at you funny. Some people, that's the only look they can give you. They funny looking. They can't do it. Somebody they looked at you funny. Listen, you have to do what it takes to outlast your trouble on the job. You stay there, just be stubborn. I refuse to let y'all run me out of here. And people nowadays, I don't get it, need all this affirmation at work. I can't relate. I can't relate. Y'all pray for me. I can't relate to all this. People need affirmation. They feel, make me feel disrespected, make me feel used. Do they pay you? The way I was raised, if you get a check, that's your affirmation. All this, I need respect and I need a title and I need an office and I need a computer and I need a this and that. And if y'all don't do treat me just right, I'm out of here. No, I was raised, if you get a check, there's your affirmation. And so you got to be financially fit. Have a work ethic. Look at the Word of God. You got all kinds of examples in there. Read them before you go to work, brother, so you can stay encouraged. Read about Joseph, who was on a job you wouldn't want. He was a slave in the house of a pagan. But the Bible says the Lord was with him. That's all you got to do. Take the Lord to work with you. Say, God, while you're driving, just pray. See, this time in your life can build up your prayer life. You on a job you don't like, man, that's instant prayer development right there. You driving to work. Okay, God, I'm getting ready to get in here with this nonsense again. Here they go again. Oh, Lord, it's Monday morning. I'm pulling in here now. See, I see him over there right now. Oh, Jesus. All right. So good. You're getting strong spiritually because you're leaning on the Lord. And you're learning how to work through some things. And Joseph worked so well till he got promoted in the house of a pagan. Same thing with the Hebrew boys. They worked so well until vocationally. That's the last type of fitness I would encourage you to. Until they were used of God, even among pagans. Bible says Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were head and shoulders above their contemporaries because they took God and they took the principles of Scripture to work with them. I submit that kingdom folk ought to be the best folk on every job. We ought to be the ones getting the best reviews. We ought to be the ones. I know there can be persecution. I know people can resent your stand for Christ, but you ought to make it hard for them to ignore the fact that you are getting the job done. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I've lived long before I was in vocational ministry, working out among people who don't know God. You have to learn how to make that work. You believe in, I'm believing for my own business. Well, listen, the principle of Scripture is you can't operate until you cooperate. That's right. God will not let you go to bed a blunder and wake up a wonder. That's not the way God promotes people. God will make you like Moses work on the backside of the desert. Nobody knows what your name is. God doesn't give you promotion. I want a position. See, that's Pastor, that's why I'm unemployed, man. Because see, I'm looking for a position. See, I've been to school, I got my degree. I'm looking for a position. These people just had jobs. I want a position. I need something that's commensurate with my expertise. I hear you, I feel you. I can stand in faith and believe God for that coming. But this might not be your season for a job commensurate with your expertise. This might be your season where you have to prove yourself in obscurity. Because God loves finding faithfulness in secret and bringing it out and rewarding it openly. Oh, this is good. I'm gonna buy this CD myself. And I got a job, but I'm going to get it just because. You know what I'm saying? God will find you in those dark, obscure corners. You might be mistreated, but God will use it to prove you, to build character in you, to strengthen you. And in due time, it'll bring you out. So while you're waiting on the commensurate one, you take the job that God opens the door for. And you go and you work faithfully and prove yourself. Because Ruth deserves a man. She's waited long enough where there's no need, especially when you waited a while, you're kind of moving on up in singleness. There's no need of trading down at this stage in life. Come on, somebody. If I waited this long, I might as well wait on the Lord, be of good courage. Pray, believe God that the seed of this word will fall on good ground. Some of these brothers will stand up and go where God wants to take them so that we have some Boazes that will marry and we can establish kingdom households. And I want to challenge you, brother, be a man after God's own heart. You don't have to have all of this all together. We're not talking about perfection. I'm talking about making commitments. Your life needs to be pointed in these directions. Then as you take a wife, she knows where you're going. When I got married, I just started in ministry. I was as broke as Job's turkey. You know, some of y'all tell me, I say, I'm staying single for a while because I'm trying to get my finances together. Look at your finances. You're going to be a while, brother. No, you don't sit around trying to outlast, trying to stretch out your single season. What you need to do is point the ship of your life in the right direction financially. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to be a tither. I'm going to sow into the kingdom. I'm going to delay gratification. I'm going to stop buying everything in Best Buy because I'm learning how to be a man. I got to get ready to take care of a family. I can't be some boy who can't come out of a toy store. If your life is pointed in the right direction, that's what counts.
Those four areas are crucial for every Christian man, but they become especially important in marriage when men are called to be servant leaders of their wives and families. And here's one final word for single men and women alike. Honor your future spouse by honoring the Lord while you're single. Follow the unchanging precepts of His Word rather than the shifting sands of cultural relativity. In doing so, you'll be better prepared to be the kind of husband or wife God has called you to be. Thanks so much for being here for today's Destined for Victory message, So You Want to Get Married. You know, our highest calling as believers in Christ is to share our faith with others, and one of the best ways to do that is by becoming one of our Destined for Victory partners, a group of people who give at least $20 a month to keep these radio and internet messages coming your way the whole year through. When you partner with us, we'll send you a few thank you gifts, including one of Pastor Paul's most popular CDs, The Best of Let My People Smile. Call 855-339-5500 to find out more about how to become a Destined for Victory partner and make your pledge over the phone. Or mail your gift, letting us know you wish to become a monthly partner. The address is Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. You can also become our partner from our website, PastorPaul.net. But if you can't become a Destined for Victory partner, but would like to make a generous donation today, we'd love to send you the booklet, 30 Days to Taming Worry and Anxiety, a great resource that reminds all of us that God can impart His joy and peace into our lives, even when life throws a few challenges our way. That's 30 Days to Taming Worry and Anxiety, our gift to you by request for your generous donation to Destined for Victory.
God will actually use closed doors, missed opportunities, thwarted plans to actually lead us into His destiny and purpose for our lives. And so my goal is to help you to learn how to handle and what to do in response to your closed doors.
That's tomorrow in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, When One Door Closes. Until then, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And remember, He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.